here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
Jokes for the Ladies.
I tell you, Pat, I'm not paying it. It's daylight robbery.
Look, Father, prices have gone up everywhere. I'm having the same trouble with my housekeeping.
Oh, yes, Grandad, everything's going up.
Except eggs. They're still coming down.
What?
It's the only way the hens can lay them.
Very funny. Now, look, Pat, you tell that shoe repairer I'm not paying all that to have a pair of my old boots mended. Before I'll pay that, why, I'll
walk to the pub in my bare feet.
Yeah.
Be quiet. I've just had to pay the earth for a new satchel for you. The old one was torn to pieces. I'd love to know how you got it like that.
Oh, but Mother, his satchel got like that because every morning he fills it with his school books and then bashes his friends with it on the school bus.
Listen, enemy. How would you like my football boot round the back of
your... Jimmy, behave yourself.
Well, it's her, ma'am. She's always on at me. If for that short of money, why don't we take her to the pawn shop and ask them to make us an offer?
Jimmy, would you like me to get a big stick to you?
Can we afford one?
Listen, when you've finished making jokes about Susan, it'll be a poor day for us when she does leave home. You seem to forget she's the only one of us who's working.
Working? You don't call that work, do you? Belting wrong words out on a typewriter at a cool 10 a minute, licking the stamps and the boss's shoes, brewing the office tea that nearly killed the office cat.
I'll give you such a smack. I meant we depend on Susan's share of the housekeeping money to help us pay our way.
Oh, well, if there's only our Susan working and we're short of cash, well, I suppose it's a daft suggestion coming from me, but, and you'll probably laugh at me, but Grandad, instead of sitting there reading the paper, why don't you go out and get a job?
Why don't I go out and what?
Well, I'm sorry, I forgot. Today's Sunday.
And you won't live to see Monday if you don't behave.
Yes, just ignore him, Grandad. Him and his silly talk.
Ah, well, perhaps there's something in what the boy says.
Look, take no notice.
Maybe I'm not pulling my weight in this household.
Look, Father, we'll be all right. I can find some part-time
work.
It's
hard when you come to the twilight of life and suddenly you learn the truth about yourself from the lips of a wee boy.
You've set him off now, Jimmy Clitheroe.
Aye, you've been managing all this time, Pat. We're not enough money and never a single word of complaint. Well, the answer's just staring me in the face. Plain as a pikestaff. And you know what it is?
Yes, Grandad. My mum marries Alfie, you win the pools, we sell our Susan, and we all live happy ever after. Hey, busy bee, buzz off. Trying to watch our Susan and Alfie through these bushes. Go away. Look, clear off and find a nice bluebell full of pollen. I'll get your daft head stuck in it.
Look, Alfie, I didn't come out here to have a row with you. I just want to sit in a deck chair for 5 minutes and think about something sensible.
Yeah, well, before you think about something sensible, you think about me. Listen to me. I've had enough. Are you here?
Oh, no. Talk about the worm turning. This one's done a double somersault.
Look, I don't need your advice with my problems. I shall make up my own mind about this.
But you haven't got a mind. Then I mean, have a problem.
You're right. I haven't now. This new job's on offer, and I'm taking it. When the man comes to see me, I shall accept. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I don't smoke a pipe.
No, the smoke just comes from his brain.
You've upset me, you have. No fault for me when you make your plans, just... That's it, Alfie. That's what I've decided, Alfie. If you don't like it, you know what you can do, Alfie.
I know what I'd do, Alfie. Belt her one.
Hello, Jimmy the Earwig's here again. What do you want?
I want a word with Fearless Alf, the Susan Tamer. Hey, well done, Alfie. You weren't off telling her off just then. Go on, power it up. Twist her arm round her back. Put a half Nelson on her.
Hey, you be quiet, I'll sort you out and all. Now listen, Nelson. Dear Susan, there's only one thing I want to hear from you.
Kiss me, Alfie.
Kiss me, Alfie. I want to know whether you're still going to take this other job.
The answer is yes. I'm not turning down the chance of another £3 a week with Harrison's for you or anybody else.
Another £3 a week, Susan? Will you need an office boy?
Oh, sure, old. You haven't heard about this new job. She has to travel. She'll probably be away from home 2 or 3 days a week. And nights.
What? £3 more wages and she'll be away 2 or 3 days a week? What have I done to deserve such good luck?
Yes, Mrs. Clitheroe. The moment you told me about your financial straits, I immediately swung into action.
Well, Humphrey, we're not exactly on the breadline yet.
Oh, that's what I like about you, Mrs. Clitheroe. Cheerful in adversity. Oh, yes. Had I ever married, it would have been to... the Parkside old ladies.
Oh, there'd have been a handful on your honeymoon, eh?
Oh, now. You know what I was referring to. The weekend cooking job at the Parkside old lady's home. It's right up your street.
I thought you said it was down by the park.
Oh, dear. As someone once said on the radio, you don't half tickle me, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Interrupting something personal?
No, Mr. Higginbottom, come in.
Mrs. Clitheroe was just tickling me. They're making me laugh. I hope you didn't get the wrong idea.
With you? You must be joking. I mean, I think I found you that job, Mrs.
Job?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you told the old pain in the wife. You were looking for a part-time job. So she got you fixed up?
Oh, but I think I'm already fixed up. What was the job?
Charwoman at the bingo hall.
Charwoman? Charming?
You shut your face. It's 3 mornings a week, Missus, 20 new pence an hour, soap and bucket provided.
Oh, really? What kind of a woman do you think Mrs. Clitheroe is? Expecting her to do such menial, degrading work.
My missus does it.
But I think Mr. Brocklebank's already got me a job, Mr. Higginbottom, looking after some old ladies.
Is he one of them?
Part-time work at the old ladies' home, relieving the regular chef on Saturdays and Sundays, and he tells me the pay's very good.
Oh, well, that's it then. I hope the job will suit, Mrs.
Oh, it'll be all right once it's definitely fixed and I've told the family. So until then, Humphrey, not a word about the old ladies.
Not a word about what, old ladies?
Hello, Ray Dalyers is back again.
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. Hey, Mr. Brocklebank, what's this about some old ladies?
Yeah, it's nothing, James, nothing. So, Mr. Sinclair's not in then, Mrs. Clitheroe?
No, he's gone to mow the Rose and Crown bowling green.
Yes, and guess what he's oiling the lawnmower with? The first time they've seen the blades with a froth on.
Look, I wanted to see Pete. Can I wait?
Oh, certainly. Pull out a pound note and sit down.
I'll bust your face in.
Well, before you do, tell me about me granddad and these old ladies.
We were talking about a home where old ladies go to live.
And me granddad's going to live there? I hope he has his own room. His underpants are covered in patches.
You'll be covered in patches if you don't clear out. Go and take your wet things off.
In a minute, ma'am. Hey, Mr. Higginbottom, fancy me granddad living in an old lady's home.
Oh, aye. I could just see him shacking up with a bunch of old crows. Hey, fancy having to smuggle your beer to bed every night in a hot water bottle.
You to suggest a revolting thing like that.
Suggest it? Ozzy said when his granny stayed with him, Mr. Higginbottom tried it.
That'll do.
Yes, out you go. And take those shoes off.
Yes, ma'am. You can tell me about me granddad later. But first, ma'am, when that man comes to see our Susan about the job, tell him our worries are over. I've taken care of that.
You are?
I'm telling you, you won't be short of money now. I'll earn plenty for us. I'll be the breadwinner.
You'll starve to death.
Well, we cannot all sustain ourselves on pints of beer and public house meat pies.
Brocklebank, how would you like a bunch of fives up your hooter?
Now, debutant Coop, there's a lady present.
There's two of you.
All right, you two. Jimmy, what are you on about? Surely you haven't got a job.
Ma'am, I've got it all worked out. A milk round, delivering leaflets, and taking dogs for walks.
Oh, rubbish. You say you've got all that worked out?
Yes, Miss Higginbottom. All I've got to find out is the answer to one question, and you can tell me.
Oh? What's that?
How fast can your Aussie run with 1,000 leaflets, 12 pints of milk, and 2 big Alsatians?
I say, you there.
Me?
Yes, I'd like your assistance. My name is Charterhouse, Basil Wilberforce Charterhouse.
Hard luck, mate.
One of those, cocky, eh?
Don't you cocky me, cocky. Look, that's my cab. Do you want to engage it or not?
I don't know. I'm looking for Lilac Avenue, a house, but I don't know where it is.
Well, it's just round the... I could run you round there if you like.
Well, I don't like. Oh. All I want is to find this house. I've mislaid the number, but it's some people called Clitheroe.
Well, it's round the corner in Lilac Avenue there, number 33, if you're willing to take the risk.
Pardon?
You said you were looking for Clitheroes. That can be dangerous, even in broad daylight.
Look, my name's Charterhouse. Now, it's obvious you don't know me.
And it's obvious you don't know the Clitheroes. Or else you'd want a police escort.
What in heaven's name are you on about? Are they dangerous or something?
Well, one of them is. Young Clitheroe.
Young Clitheroe?
The son. The only son. You'd never find more than one like him.
Oh, I'm glad you warned me. Anyway, it's his mother I wish to see. She's been recommended for the post of relief cook at an old lady's home, which comes under my control. So I wish to see if she's a suitable kind of person.
Oh, she's all right, Mrs. Clitheroe. In fact, I don't know how such a nice woman managed to have such a cheeky son.
Really? I take it that there's this boy and his mother and father.
Mother and grandfather. An old Scots gent with a face like a boiled haggis.
Well, it's the mother I want.
Ah, well, 33 they live at, just round the corner there, and don't say you weren't warned.
Jimmy, there's somebody at the door. Shall I see who it is?
Yes, Alfie. If it's Ozzy, tell him to come in, but wipe his mucky feet first.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you do, Clitheroes?
No, Halls. No, I mean, yes, it is. No, not me, I'm Alfie, but there. Clitheroes, not Halls.
I'm sorry, am I at the wrong house?
No, I am. Well, not at the wrong house, a different one, not mine. But you aren't at the wrong one, you're all right, but I'm not.
That I can believe. Look, if this is Clitheroes, I wish to see the lady about a job for which she has applied.
Oh, yes, she told us about that. Well, you better come in.
Well, thank you.
Wipe your mucky feet.
What?
I'm sorry, not you. The Aussie has to wipe them, Jimmy said. Not you. You needn't wipe your mucky feet.
Are you trying to be offensive, or are you just stupid?
No, I'm not trying to be. I couldn't help it. I mean, I just forgot myself for a minute. But no, I forgot myself. Forgot what I was saying. Well, I didn't forget, but I think I'll go and get Jimmy.
Well, can't you get somebody? Anyone will do, so long as they can speak English.
Jimmy's here. Not Ozzy, it's a man.
A man? What does he want?
He wants to see Susan about that job. Only he called her a lady.
He must be as daft as you.
Yes, he is. Yeah, don't be cheeky.
Oh, you mean he's not as daft as you?
No, he's not. I mean, I'm not. Oh, see, they'll talk.
All right, I'll see him. I'll tell him how smashing our Susan is. She's got to get that job, Alfie. Hello, mister. I'm Jimmy Clitheroe.
Oh, I've heard about you.
She's not in, mister, but I can tell you all about her. What do you want to know?
Thank you, but I don't wish to talk to you about her. When will she be in?
I don't know. Alfie, how long will Scraggy Neck be?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've got to take her off.
Call her Scraggy Neck?
Oh, that's just a nickname. A joke.
Strange sort of joke. Have you no respect? Still, I suppose your mother is to blame for allowing you to say it to her.
She doesn't allow him. Every time she hears him call her Scraggy Neck, his mother tells him off.
All right, Alfie. The man wants to know when she'll be back.
Well, she shouldn't be long. She's only gone to the dress shop to buy some hot pants.
She wears hot pants at her age. I think they're disgusting.
Oh, well, she won't wear them at work. She'll wear a miniskirt.
Miniskirt?
Yes, she wears a smashing clothes, doesn't she, Alfie?
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Yeah, and she's pretty and very clever. And she doesn't mind working late and being away from home.
Wouldn't you mind her being away from home? You and your grandfather? I mean, she wouldn't be able to do any housework or cooking at the weekends.
Don't worry about that. She never does any.
What?
No, she's smashing her doggish work and that. But she can't cook. If she tried to boil an egg, she'd burn the water.
She can't cook?
Yes, she can. She's not a bad cook. She just doesn't get much practice.
Shut up. I tell you, mister, we won't miss her. She can't cook. Take no notice of Alfie. He doesn't want her to go away because he's her boyfriend.
A boyfriend? A young man like you. I don't understand.
Neither does anybody else. But she likes him, so he must have something. Mind you, it's well hidden.
Don't be funny. We love each other, and that's all that matters. And when we've got enough money, we'll get married and clear off, and she won't have to be bothered with you anymore.
You mean she'd go away and leave this boy here?
Well, that. The sooner the better.
Well, I wouldn't have believed it.
Well, mister, if you're going to wait to see her, would you like to come in the living room and have a cup of tea?
No, thank you. I have no wish whatever to see her now.
Oh, you mean I've told you all you want to know about her?
More than enough. I'm very grateful that I did talk to you now, otherwise I might never have found out what kind of woman she was.
Oh, well, I'm glad I've helped.
So am I. Well, I'll be off now. I shall write to her in due course.
Well, ta-ra, Mr.
Charterhouse. Mr. Charterhouse. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Charterflight. The house.
Well, I fixed that for her, all right. Wait till she comes in. She'll be over the moon.
Yeah, well, she might be, but I'm not. But I don't want to go in the way every week, and I'll tell her when she comes in. Hey, hey, she won't be. They're not going away, but coming in.
What are you on about now?
Susan, she's not coming in soon. She was taking her hot pants to the office. I mean, she was getting her hot pants, but then she had to go to the office for an hour, so she wouldn't be wearing pants. not the hot ones, just the ordinary. just what she always... the phone's ringing.
Yes, Alfie. I think you were saved by the bell. Hello, Clitheroe's Hot Pants Shop.
I beg your pardon. Is Miss Susan Clitheroe there, please?
No, she's out. She's at work.
Well, I am speaking from her place of work, and she's not here.
Well, she was going there. Mind, there's three of them in her office. She might be moving around.
I know there are three of us. Parsons, Mortimer, and Potts. I am Mortimer, and she is not here.
Well, maybe she's with the parson, or the potty one. Potts, I mean.
Miss Clitheroe is not in the building, and she promised to come in for an hour today.
Well, she's going there. She's probably being held up by her hot pants. She's buying some. To wear at home, I mean. When she goes to the office, she'll take them off.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about. But if Miss Clitheroe comes home, will you tell her to come round to the office immediately? You understand?
All right, keep your wig on. Maybe she's not going to come now that she's getting a new job.
New job? What do you mean?
Her new job. The fellow's just been round here to see her about it. Mr. Charterhouse, they call him. You see, she wasn't getting enough money working for you, so she thought she'd better...
It's no wonder Mr. Mortimer got cross if he didn't know she was leaving.
Yeah, it's a good thing I fixed her that other job with Charterhouse. because from the sound of Mortimer, she'd be looking for one tomorrow if I hadn't.
Well, you shouldn't have told him.
What difference does it make? He can't sack her. She's packed up. Now, I wonder who this is. Maybe it's somebody come to offer you a job, Alfie, in the waxworks. They might be a dummy short. Hello, Mr. Brocklebank.
There you are, you little troublemaker.
You what?
I am furious, livid, beside myself with anger.
You'd better come in before you go mad and start tearing paper.
I will come in. I don't want the neighbours to see the state I'm in.
Yeah, that suit is a bit old, isn't it?
Now, don't you be so impertinent.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Brocklebank. Hello.
Careful what you say, Alfie. The mood he's in, he could crush a grape.
James Clitheroe, I abhor violence, but one more impudent remark and I'll slap your bottom.
Oh, Mr. Brocklebank. In front of Alfie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alfred. Will you be quiet?
I haven't spoke.
Not you. I meant James. Now, what lies have you been telling Mr. Charterhouse?
Oh, tell him, Alfie.
I'm talking to you, James.
Yes, shut up, Alfie.
I'm sorry, Betsy. No, I'm not.
All right. Well, what are you on about, Mr. Brocklebank? All I did was fix her a job with Mr. Charterhouse.
Oh, yes, you fixed it all right. He said he wouldn't employ her if she was the last woman on earth. Hot pants, miniskirt, can't cook water.
Oh, Susan can't cook water.
Susan? He came to see your mother about a job cooking at the old lady's home.
What? Oh, heck.
Yes, so you got your mother fired before she even had the job.
She's not the only one. He spoke to Susan's boss on the phone and he's got her the sack.
Well, your family really has got money trouble now, thanks to you. Well, then what have you got to say now?
Goodbye. Can you lend me the fare to China?
Don't be so facetious. Your family won't think it's funny when they find out what you've done.
Oh, heck. Me mum and Susan will murder me. And after they've finished, me grandad will kill me. There's only one thing could save me from him.
Well, what's that?
If I could fix him a job at £100 a week as a test pilot in a brewery. Alfie, somehow we've got to get me mum another job before she comes in, or we've had it.
How can you get... What do you mean, we?
Well, you're the one who told Charterhouse me mum wore hot pants.
I did not. Well, I did, but I didn't know your mum wore hot pants. I mean, was telling him about your Susan's pants. Oh, you know what I meant.
Yes, I know. But who else will believe you? Especially if I don't back you up.
Blah, you little twister.
Well, think. Do you know anybody who has a part-time job?
No, I don't. Yes, I do. My Auntie Nora. I know her.
Get away.
I mean, she works part-time for a doctor. He's a psychiatrist. My Auntie Nora. Nora's a receptionist on his couch. But for it. The people, I mean, who come to lie on it. You see, you lie on the couch and he talks to you and then cures you.
I suppose he cured you for nothing. Because of your auntie.
Oh, yes, well, you see, my auntie... No, he didn't. He didn't cure me at all. I haven't been cured.
Oh, don't give up hope.
You'll give up hope in a minute.
I'm sorry. Do you think your Auntie Nora could get me mum a job with the psychiatrist? Then he could have two couches. No waiting.
He wouldn't want two receptionists.
Well, do you think we could get your Auntie Nora the sack?
Hello there, Jimmy. Alfie.
Hello, Mr. Tinkler.
Hello, Grandad. Ta-ra. Come on, Alfie.
Wait a minute. Where are you going? It's nearly tea time.
We're just popping out for a minute to see Alfie's Auntie Nora.
Oh, where does she live, Alfie?
Birmingham.
You daft twit.
Susan, Humphrey, they're still here.
Oh, heck, me mum.
You've done it this time, haven't you?
Alfie, Susan's talking to you.
She was talking to you, you little imp.
You, Mr. Brocklebank, You're a telltale tit.
Don't you be cheeky. I had to tell your mother, James, and Susan. After all, they had lost their jobs.
Who's lost their jobs?
Mother had a job fixed at the old lady's home, and the man came here to see her. Unfortunately, he met that cheeky brother of mine who told him a pack of lies and lost her the job.
Then he phoned up Susan's boss and got her the sack.
It was Alfie. He told the bloke that me man wore hot pants.
I didn't. I told him about Susan's pants. Only I got mixed up. Well, I mean, he did. Well, I did as well. I meant Susan's hot pants, not your man's.
Look, will you shut up, Alfie, about the pants? Jimmy, I don't understand, but it seemed you're due for a leathering.
Oh, don't hit me, Grandad. I didn't mean to cause trouble. I only wanted to help. And since it happened, I've been phoning all over trying to get you old jobs. I've even tried to get one for myself. But the man at the employment place said I was too young to be an astronaut. I wasn't talking about me mum's cooking. I meant our Susan. What are you all laughing at?
You little crybaby.
Yes, I hope you've learned your lesson.
I'm sorry, James, but you know, it is funny.
Well, I don't see the joke.
Was it the one about Jimmy being an astronaut?
Well, as a matter of fact, Father, without realizing it, Jimmy's done us all a favour.
Yes, you see, Mr. Sinclair, when Mr. Charterhouse told me he didn't want to employ Mrs. Clitheroe, I went to see the vicar. Well, he knew of another place looking for a weekend cook, and I fixed it up.
Yes, at a pound more as well.
And when I got to the office, Mr. Mortimer begged me to stay on, and he's given me a £3 a week rise to match the other offer.
Well, you rotten lot! And you let me think I was going to be trampled on by the Highland Bull.
It serves you right.
Oh, shut up. Hey, ma'am, since I got you both more wages, how about me having a rise in my pocket money?
You cheeky young monkey.
James, you are a caution.
I hope you don't mind me walking in, but the back door was open.
Oh, come in. You're welcome, Mr. Higginbottom.
Aye, maybe to you, but not to everyone, I don't think.
What do you mean, Higgy?
I've just left my boss. He sent for me to ask why I wanted to pack up driving a taxi for him.
I didn't know you wanted to give up the taxi.
Neither did I, but it seems someone rang him up and said I wanted to give up my taxi because I was fed up not being able to drink and drive. And then he asked for me job.
Who was it?
He said his name was Peter Sinclair.
I never rang up your boss.
I know that. You haven't got a high-pitched boyish voice and a phony Scottish accent. But we all know who has, don't we?
Jimmy, you wicked little... Where is he? Jimmy, where are you going?
I'm going to look for a job in Siberia.
Come back. Come back here, Jimmy.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Brian Truman as Mr. Charterhouse and Mr. Mortimer, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
Surprised to know I didn't get smacked. Mr. Brocklebank talked them round before I got home. And when I came back, I'd got a job to help out. So my grandad just told me off. Well, I haven't got a job exactly. I've got my own business. Starting next week outside the cricket ground, I'm going to wash cars for the people who go to the game. 25 new pence a time. 20 pence for me washing them. And 5 new pence for Ozzy... for dirtying them. We'll make a fortune.